Welcome to Finding Calm in the Psalms, brought to you by Central Synagogue. I'm Rabbi Andrew Kaplan Mandel, and we are learning from musicians and poets who have created unique and powerful compositions based in Psalms from the Hebrew Bible. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Rabbi Shefa Gold to the podcast. Today, you're joined by your husband, Rachmiel. Happy to have you both. Now, Rabbi Gold, you are a leader in the Jewish renewal movement. You are well known as a teacher in Jewish mystical tradition. You're the director of the Center for Devotional Energy and Ecstatic Practice in Hamas Springs, New Mexico, and you've released at least 10 albums, as far as I can tell. You're the author of The Magic of Hebrew Chant, among other accomplishments, and our community certainly knows your setting of Ozi Vazimrat Yah, as well as our focus for today, your Ashrei. So I'm hoping the two of you can start us off by gracing us with a rendering of your melody.
Yes. Our pleasure.
Ashrei, Yoshrei,
what a blessing you just gave us there. Wow, thank you so much. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about this setting from your perspective.
Okay. Well, the story of this chant is that I was invited to a conference on the future of Judaism, or the futures of Judaism. It was happening in Chicago at a big hotel or convention center, I can't remember exactly. So I was really honored to be asked. And then they said to me, well, we're gonna ask you to lead Ashrei for the whole community. No, to lead Mincha for the community, sorry. So here I was getting ready to lead Mincha for this national conference.
Mincha being the afternoon service that begins with Ashrei.
Yes. So I said yes, and then I thought, I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because I don't actually even have an afternoon practice. I wasn't even doing mincha as part of my practice. I had a very strong morning practice and a bedtime practice, but I wasn't doing mincha. And so I said, okay, if I want to be real here, I have to take on a mincha practice. And what I do as a chanter is someone who looks at a text and finds the treasure inside it and says, how do I unlock this treasure through everything I know about music and intention? So I opened up my siddur and I went to the mincha service. And the very first words of the mincha service are these words, Ashrei, Yoshvei Vitecha. So suddenly I just decided to like not go any farther than that, to just immerse myself in these words and to be able to understand what the medicine was. And what I noticed in my life was that I would go through my day, I would be checking things off of my to-do list, I was trying to get a lot of things done, and there was a kind of momentum of the day. And in and when I stopped for mincha, what I noticed was like I would stop that momentum and open up a much wider perspective and connect with this kind of source place within me, and connect also with my joy, which is the first word of Ashrei. And and it says, Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, you know, the joyful ones, the ones who are singing from that place of joy, Yoshvei Beitecha, live in the God house. That's why I think of it. And for me, the house of God is a code for unity consciousness. They live in the place where you feel connected to everything and everyone. That's the God house. Mm-hmm. So happy are the ones. That's the true joy, is when you can step into that God house, that much wider perspective, after having spent the day, you know, like in the tiny kind of, sort of place of the narrow place of getting everything done. Suddenly I step into the God house. And when you're there, Odya Halalucha, which to me means uncontrollable praise. It means that when you're in that state of unity consciousness, you open your mouth and what comes out is praise. And it's just a natural thing. And so I decided, I don't wanna just praise. I wanna go to the place from which praise is the natural outpouring. And to me, that was the intention, is that each afternoon I would say, like, okay, I'm stopping everything else and I'm going now to the place from which praise is natural. And it could be that the rest of my day leading up to that, when I opened my mouth, it wasn't praise that came out. Maybe it was complaint or anxiety or whatever else, you know, was in me. But if I could go to that Ashrei place, then Odya Halalucha, and it became kind of mostly the whole thing. So so Mincha service is really this prayer of Ashrei and an Amidah, a meditation, and a Kaddish, and so I felt like, but I really got what Mincha was about. And I got it as a direction of like a sense of like, oh, here's where you need to go to reset, to realign yourself to what's important, and so I began to sing that first word of Ashrei and lift myself up really into the through joy. And singing is so joyful. So I lift myself up into the joy, and then feel like I am opening the door to God consciousness, to unity consciousness. And then from there, I can praise. And then when I go back afterward, after mincha, to my work, I'm in a new place. You know, I have access to those feelings. So I went to the conference, and I led that Ashrei. And I want to say just a little side story about that conference. There was someone who was teaching at the conference who was Avi Weiss, Rabbi Avi Weiss.
Yes, popular modern Orthodox rabbi from Riverdale. Yes.
Yeah. So he was my Hebrew school teacher when I was 14 years old, in Paramus, New Jersey. He was a student at Yeshiva University, and he would take a bus out to Paramus to teach the Hebrew school, and he was the first passionate Jew I ever met. The quality of his presence changed me and opened a door that I didn't have to lose my passion in order to like step into a Jewish life. I mean, he was a model for me. So I So I went up to him at that conference, because I hadn't seen him since I was 14. And I went up to him at the conference and I told him what he had meant to me. And he looked at me and he said, "Oh, yeah, I think I remember you. You were the weird one, weren't you?"
Like him.
I guess not. And I have, you know, but it was a great moment of reconnection, remembering that meeting him was part of my path.
That's very joyful, very fitting for Ashray. Joyful, very fitting.
And then I wanted to say something about the second part, because I had this, you know, I musically what I wanted to do was. What I think of as a harmonic echo, like it's not a real echo, it is the harmony in the echo, and I think it add, it, you know, sometimes when I want to express something, you know, I'm using melody, I'm using rhythm, and I'm also using harmony and kind of the juxtaposition of, and so adding that second part, I think, just opened it up for me changed the tone of it, really.
Took it to the next level for me.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that it's Ashray in the plural, happy are those. You really get that feeling of multiplicity and the collaboration that comes from joy.
Yeah, like that we're lifting each other up. And that's how I feel when we sing together.
Oh,
that we're kind of lifting each other, kind of inspiring each other to be to live in the God house. Mm-hmm. And that Yoshveh means like, oh yeah, that's where I want to live. I want to live from there. And then this Od Yahallelujah. So Hallelujah has become a really important practice for me. I feel like the practice of praise is one that is, it's not a subject-object relationship. It's just praise happening. And through praise, I get lifted up out of my narrow perspective and into, brought into the wide perspective. There's sometimes when I go to the last line of Ashray, you know, after a time of silence, after the chant, I sing. Hallelujah. And it's a kind of a chatima, a seal on the prayer.
That is a real bonus, I have to say, because when I've experienced this chant or used it myself, we repeat the original melody and apply it to the va'anachnu. But you've now just given us a whole new additional element to that, so thank you.
Yeah, it has a different quality to it.
Yes.
You know, it's a little more, it's rhythmic and
yes, there's more kinetic energy.
Yeah, the energy then to then go into my day.
Understood. So, will you say a little bit more about the melody? You mentioned this immediate lifting up with the Ashray, and then we go up further with the Yoshveh, and then we go up further with the Veitecha, and then it falls as we enter the house. Will you describe what's going on, maybe metaphorically, for you there?
Ashray. So it's some lifting up, and then entering the God house, you know. And then Od Yahallelucha, it's like, okay, there, that's the place I want to live, really. And so it's kind of normalizing it, right? You know, saying, you know, like, this is the, you know, and it's very important to me that a chant is not You know, it's not only the content of the words, but what function does it provide? You know, what is fulfilled through the chant? And for me, it's a change of state. Mm. And then in the silence after the chant, I always want to reflect on where has this brought me? Who am I now? And some of the things that might have been important to me or bothering me beforehand are not anymore, from that new perspective. And that's, and I think the most important question in prayer is it working? And by working, I mean really transforming our state of consciousness into one that is more connected, more loving, less judgmental, less reactive to the world.
You know, before I became a rabbi, I was a doctoral student in transformative learning theory. And it strikes me that what you have done has applied one of those theories that I studied, which is, in short, unfreeze, meaning allow yourself to step away from old behaviors, change, and then freeze, as in solidify or normalize a new behavior. And you've built this into your melody, this kind of unfreezing where we're lifting up, almost climbing a ladder to enter a window, maybe on the third floor, given these levels that you've created. And we reach it, and then we come back down, and we're changed and we're normalized by the time we get to that Od Yehalleluha. That's such a beautiful message for us as we engage with this piece in particular. And it's a test for us about whether or not we have indeed entered a new state of consciousness. As you've said, if we can perceive that we actually have changed in some way as a result of this chant. How beautiful. I'm wondering, when you mentioned Mincha, of course, Ashrei and Mincha are tied together, but we at Central Synagogue use this melody most often during Shacharit, the morning service. That's where we bring it in. Does the message change for you depending on when you sing it?
It's three times a day, really. It's like you keep coming back to it. You keep coming back to it. It got associated with Mincha for me just because of that, the origin of it. But I think it's at any time we need to do that reconnecting with joy. And sometimes by joy, I don't mean a feel. Like, it's not like I feel joy. It's that I'm sourcing myself in the joy that I know is in me. And my voice can take me there, really. And I want to say that the idea of changing states, what's important about it is at the end of the chant, there be some time of reflection or awareness of where I am. Otherwise, I can just go right back to where I was before. But the awareness of a state is what magnifies its benefit. And you want to notice where you are and what's possible from here, and not just drop it and go on to the next thing. And also, sometimes you have to do it for a while. And some, you know, in synagogues, when you have to say so many different things, you might not get there. But I have the luxury of being able to chant it for a long time when it's not part of a service, but when it's part of a spiritual practice.
That makes sense. Can you explain a bit about the repetition of Od Yehalleluha? That is the section of this piece that repeats. So I'm wondering its significance for you.
You know, I think it's like this, the second time is like this resolve, really. You know, the first time is like almost a question, and the second time is an answer. Od Yehalleluha. Really? Yeah. Od Yehalleluha. And I've done it also with lots of harmonies, too. I wrote that one harmony. But there's times when I get the harmonies going and I sing the Ashrei in an octave up, and to add a kind of more, a little more angelic.
Over the top.
Now, of course, as a musician, you write many pieces. Some of them become quite popular. Others may be less well known. Have there been occasions when you've heard this ashray since you've written it that have been really extra special or memorable for you?
Well, it's funny you say it in the positive, because there's sometimes people don't sing it wrong. When they sing it wrong, it's a little upsetting to me.
What do people do when they sing it wrong?
Like they say ashray, and then they just ashray like an echo of it, and I'm like, no, you're missing the big important thing about it, you know, because it. Because that harmony in the echo really is important. And there's other times people sing Ashrei, and I don't like that either, because it takes the power away from it. I don't know if I've heard that. I don't think I've ever heard it at Central Synagogue. I've only heard it when I sing it with my students, and then it's fun to hear that when it spreads around in other places and people tell me about it. But.
Well, I'm going to brush up so that we do it just as prescribed, because it would be quite ironic if we didn't make this song truly sing as intended. We need to take full advantage of all that you've baked into it. You know, thank you so much for taking the time to share this exquisite chant with us and the story behind it. The thoughtfulness, it's such a gift.
We appreciate
it. Yeah, it's so fun to talk about it. Nobody ever asked me these questions before. So thank you so much.
And thank you all for listening as we continue to find calm in the Psalms. See you next time.